song gives me joy. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Such an honor to be here today. Such a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? All right. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Why don't you give my helpers a hand real quick? Thank you, Travis and Ethan. Thank you so much. All right. Let's continue in prayer for those that will be traveling for NAYC. Some have already left. Let's remember Pastor Sister McGuire as they travel. His father's birthday in Texas, so they are traveling. But today I would like to speak about a title, the term elephant in the room. Big surprise there. Elephant in the room, it references an important and obvious topic everyone present is aware of. Just make sure everybody's aware. All right. But it isn't discussed because such a discussion would be considered uncomfortable. So today I would like to speak on the title, What Elephant? Do you see it? I don't see it. Do you see it? I don't see it. What elephant? All right. Would you help me pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we have together. Thank you for the anointing and for the power and for the Spirit of God that we feel in this room right now. Would you lift your voice right now with me? If you want God to speak to you today, would you lift your voice? If you want God to speak to his church today, would you lift your voice? Oh, God, we love you. God, we honor you. God, we praise you, Jesus. Lord, we give you all honor, all glory. I'll go ahead and clap your hands unto the Lord right now. As you're seated, God bless you. This narrative comes from 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17, and then parts of 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. David and Goliath is a common household story to the churched and to the unchurched alike. Everybody has heard of the story of David and Goliath, right? It's the ultimate underdog scenario, okay? You have your average, ordinary, everyday teenager who's just out watching his father's sheep. And he probably was doing other chores and things around the house. He's just average. He's just ordinary. All right. Well, if I'd have left him laying down, that would have been a very awkward elephant in the room. So we're going to, apparently the AC is really strong up here. All right, so he's your average, ordinary, everyday teenager. On the day in question, David is delivering snacks. Just a delivery boy. Nothing exciting, right? Nothing exciting. And he's delivering snacks to his older brothers who are soldiers in Saul's mighty army, right? Well, a sense of anticipation overtakes David as he departs to the Valley of Elah, feeling the intensity of his quest, right? He imagines the heroic bravery of King Saul, right? And his mighty army. And just like any teenager or anybody, his imagination begins to run wild, right? I mean, if that was me, right? If that was me going, right? And so, like every youth, his imagination begins to run wild as he rehearses what he might do on the battlefield. I mean, what if the king calls on him to fight? Right? And so David, who has never touched a sword before, but in David's imagination, he wields that sword with the experience and expertise of a seasoned general. You know what I mean. Right? You know how you do. Right? You pick one up and you're like, oh, that's much heavier than the one that I was, my invisible sword, right? Right? So David's like, you know, his imagination's carrying on. And so he imagines smashing and slicing his way to the front lines, right? He imagines the fear and the hopelessness in his opponent's eyes, right? As he's fighting this imaginary battle, okay? And he has no thought of Israel's retreat, because ever since Israel got a king like all the other nations, they haven't lost a war. They haven't lost a battle since King Saul came around. And so their beloved King Saul, he was the most handsome in all of Israel, according to Scripture. King Saul was head and shoulders taller than everyone else in Israel. He was the tallest dude. You know that guy that when he walks in the room, you're like, whoa. You know that guy? Yeah, you know that guy? Right? And so this is King Saul. He's head and shoulders taller than everybody else. He has the most followers on Instagram. All the girls, they double tap his selfies. Saul has never experienced the pain and humiliation of being left on red. Everybody under 30 got that. If not, just ask somebody later. As David's daydream continues, his mind goes back to the peculiar day not too long ago when he knew he was destined for greatness. He had been summoned out of the field. He was just doing chores, just a normal day. And he was summoned out of the field when he arrived at his house. His brothers were standing in a line from old youngest, and David simply joined the line, and suddenly the prophet Samuel walked up to him and poured anointing oil on his head. Scripture says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that moment on. But then the prophet just left. No explanation. Just poured oil on David's head and left. If you're a note taker, write this down. God didn't let Samuel tell David what he was anointed to do. All right. See, sometimes God doesn't tell you the end of the story. Sometimes God doesn't explain the rest of it. See, you know you're anointed, but you don't know how, you don't know when. What did David do? David just went back to the same old, same old. So you came to an altar, got filled with the Holy Ghost, got anointed, you felt amazing change and everything, and then it just went back to normal. It just went back to the same old, same old. The prophet didn't tell David anything. It's okay to struggle with your direction. Now, I know I'm not preaching to a youth service anymore, but it's okay, because there's a lot of adults that are still struggling with their direction. There's a lot of adults that are still struggling with where God wants them in life. There's a lot of adults that are still struggling with their purpose in life. In fact, statistics prove that adults struggle with it more than teenagers do. Okay. I mean... Stick to your notes, David. See, that's called midlife crisis, right? Right. People in their midlife have those. That's why they call it midlife crisis. I'm pretty proud of that, actually. Suddenly, something jolts David from his thoughts, and he quickly realizes that he's approaching the Valley of Elah, where this battle is supposed to be taking place. This showdown is supposed to be taking place. And so he realizes that something's not right. He realizes that, wait a minute, something's not right. There's no metallic crash of sword against sword. There's no sound of splintering shields. There's no triumphant shout from a victor, and there's no gasping cry from the wounded. Instead, he hears a booming voice roar across the valley. As he gets closer, the scene becomes clear Saul, King Saul, the bomb diggity, is hiding in his tents. The entire army, while a massive Philistine champion named Goliath thunders a challenge for a man to come down and fight. This Philistine champion was over 9 feet tall. Note takers, write this down. King Saul was defeated the moment that he faced something that was bigger than him. See, up until this point, King Saul got to look down at all his enemies. Up until this point, King Saul walked around with a chip on his shoulder because everybody else was smarter than him. But the moment that King Saul faced a battle that he couldn't fight himself, he was defeated. When you learn to lean on God to fight your battles for you, you will get victory every single time. Hallelujah. You will face many things in your life. And if you lean on your ability, if you lean on your talents, eventually you'll face something that's bigger than you can handle. You'll face something that it's a storm that you weren't prepared for. Yeah, you can board up your windows all you want, but that hurricane, you weren't built for that kind of category. All right? All right? We all know the rest of the story. David faces the giant, right? We love that story, and it's a great story. David faces the giant that nobody else wants to deal with, right? David faces the elephant in the room that nobody wants to deal with, right? David becomes known as a giant killer, right? Because it wasn't just the it just wasn't Goliath that David dealt with, but David has built this history. Because one day David's out in the field, right? I really don't think it was a little lion. I really don't think it was just a little baby lion that stepped up and was like, "Hey, bro, nice lambs," right? Leo the lion was not little. David was known for dealing with things that were bigger than him. That bear, have y'all ever seen a bear? Right? Not in real life. They have them at zoos and stuff, okay? And so, right, those things are not little, okay? And I don't know if it's just because they're furry that they look like they work out, you know? David gets known for dealing with giants, and David becomes known for dealing with the elephants in the room, the thing nobody wants to talk about, the thing nobody wants to deal with, the thing nobody wants to mention. Right? But what about the giant that David didn't want to face? What about that elephant in David's room that he didn't want to confront? See, David is now king. He's blessed. He's favored by God. He has everything he could have ever dreamed. But David makes a mistake. Say mistake number one. He stays home from battle. While David's men are out fighting, David is at home sipping lemonade, sitting on the roof, and all of a sudden, he notices somebody taking a bath on a rooftop. And instead of looking away, it wasn't sin to see it, it was sin to keep watching. Say mistake number two. That was weak. Say mistake number two. He keeps watching. When you stop fighting and start watching, sin is going to get real close to home. I'll say it again. When you stop fighting and you start watching, sin is going to get really, really close to home. Say mistake number three. He brings her home. Okay? Okay, that's just the progression of things, right? See, you remember the day that you couldn't sit through a rated R movie, but then you decided that it wasn't worth the fight. You decided that it was just going to be more difficult to argue and to fight about it Right, moms, when your teenagers are like, it's just a movie, it's just one part, it's just one thing. And so what happens is you stop fighting and you start watching. But the problem is you don't stop when it's just the movie. You used to just watch rated R movies, but now you're living a rated R movie because it comes home to you. And all of a sudden, what was so far-fetched in your mind becomes reality. And David's reality was living in the palace with him. So he got married to her. He covered it up. He murders her husband. Brother Keith, could you hand me that thing right there? Sitting next to you. One more over. That blue thing. Thank you. Right? There's a big old elephant in David's life, right? She got a husband. She's pregnant. All kinds of issues. So what does David do? Good man of God, anointed. Yep, that's good, right? Y'all can't see that. Y'all have no idea it's there. No idea, right? It's we're good. We're good. We're good. Probably should have put a little more air in this thing. We're good, right? The great cover-up. Right? Because nobody knows now. Nobody knows. Right? And so the David goes back to normal, you know? Hi, greetings, kingdom. Right? Right? Hi, everything's good. Nothing to see here. No worries. Right? Everything's good. You know, kind of like when you come to church. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Oh, hi. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hi, how are you? Nothing to see here. God bless you. God bless you. I'm just coming to worship. Just coming to worship. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know why people look at me funny in that church. I don't know why nobody wants to sit next to me in church. It's no big deal, right? You can't see. It's right? Right? Okay, I'm done. I can't. You know what I mean though, right? The cover up. The great cover-up where you think nobody knows, when in reality, everybody knows. Right? Except David. All right. Moving on. He tries to cover it. David thought he got away with it. He goes back to life as usual in the kingdom, and then God sends a preacher to deal with the elephant that's in David's life. You need a preacher in your life. You need a pastor. All right? You need a pastor that can walk into your life and deal with the elephants in the room. There's a lot of people that have a pastor. But what happens when your pastor wants to deal with something in your life? All right, we'll skip on over that part. Okay, we're going to change gears real quick. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. He got tired. He wore the elephant out, bro. Jonah chapter 1, if you're turning in your Bible to that, Jonah is actually right after Obadiah, so that should help. That was funny too, guys. I'm not going to lie. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Aren't you glad that you can hear the voice of God? Aren't you glad that you can hear the voice of God? Jonah, it doesn't give all of Jonah's story, right? Samuel's got a cool calling, right? You know, Samuel's sleeping, and all of a sudden he hears this voice, Samuel. You know, I don't know how God sounds, and you don't either, so we're going to go with this, okay? So you know, God, Samuel, wake up, you know, and Samuel goes and runs into his pastor's room, because the voice of God is going to sound a lot like your pastor. Ooh, okay. All right, I'm going to skip over that one too. All right, and so Samuel's got this cool calling, but we don't know how Jonah got called, right? We don't know the story of Jonah and if he was sleeping when God's voice, or you know, if a burning bush was like, you know, go save the world. You know, we don't know that. It doesn't tell us how Jonah got his calling. Okay, which is cool, because sometimes our calling isn't all that glamorous. Sometimes it's nothing to write home about. Sometimes it's just in an altar service like we're going to have here in a moment, and you're going to feel the anointing and the pull and the call of God in your life, and God's going to say, arise, go. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, right? There's always going to be an open door, right? You know that wonderful scripture? We love it so much, right? And God is going to open doors that no man can shut, right? We love that scripture. Well, guess what? The devil can't close God's doors, but he can open his own. Okay, so there'll be an open door in your life, and you'll know it's an open door, but there'll always be an exit that the devil will provide, right? I'll prove it. You know that person you were supposed to talk to, right? But then it's like, you know what? I really got to go do this. I just remembered I got to go. I could stay and stop and talk and have lunch with that person, but you know what? I really don't feel like it, and I need to finish texting these people, so I'm not going to go sit with them and have lunch. See, whenever the Lord opens up a door of ministry in your life, the devil is going to open up an exit door. The devil is always going to open up an exit door. My buddy Chris Dooley, he told me a story. He was a young man, probably 15 years old, and Pastor Kyle called him and was like, hey, we're having some youth speak for a Wednesday night. Will you be one of the speakers? And he gave him a topic, and this we're going to talk about. And Chris said that, you know, God had always been tugging on him to do this. And so he was super excited, but then he was super nervous, right? You know how the excitement wears off, and then you're like, what did I just agree to? You know what I mean? Right, and so Chris said that he was sitting there struggling with it, and you know that door had opened for him, and then they had a hurricane, and his dad's business went. His dad was running up to take care of some emergency response work, and Chris is like, packed his bag and jumped in the truck, didn't need to. Dad didn't need his help, but he was like. And just jumped in the truck and left. Called pastor on the way up to wherever they were going and was like, hey, I'm working. Can't. And at first it was like, phew, got out of that. That was close. Right? But then the reality to where years later, he's like, man, I missed that open door. I missed that open door. So your life is going to be full of moments where you miss that open door. But Jonah jumps on a cruise to Tarshish. They got a cool water slide on the ship. And so he's like, yeah, let me get that. And so he jumps on this cruise, and he just got done eating at the buffet, and he goes down to take a nap, and this storm starts brewing. And the storm was so bad, right? And Jonah was so far from the will of God that a sailor had to wake him up and be like, dude, why aren't you praying? I mean, sailors are not known for their walk with Jesus, okay? Sailors are not known to be the most spiritual type, but this sailor, y'all be careful when people in the world are like, you probably should pray about your situation. Right? When it gets that bad where people that don't believe in God are like, you need to pray. And so Jonah gets woke up. You know, of course, after Jonah gets woke up, then of course he's like, oh, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. You know the type, dude. You were just acting like an idiot a second ago, and now all of a sudden you're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, right, Jonah. I'm a man of God. And so. Verse 10, let's jump to verse 10. And the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. I mean, how did that conversation go? Seriously, though. How did that conversation go?
Well, guys, I'm fleeing to Tarshish because the Lord told me to go to Nineveh and preach. And I'm a preacher, but just decided not to go.
Times have not changed. See, you're sitting there, and somebody's like, So why are you at this bar? I'm running from God. So why are you at this club tonight? I'm running from God. So why are you on this website? I'm running from God. Why are you in this relationship? I'm running from God. That was for the young adults, the teenagers. Or the adults, sure. The elephant is whatever's keeping you from Nineveh. The elephant in the room today, and I feel the Holy Ghost drawing us and knocking. The elephant in the room is whatever is keeping you from Nineveh. There's people in the church working in the church that are doing things. They're busy, but they're going to Tarshish. They're doing stuff. They're doing stuff. But if you're not walking in the will of God, see, if God called you to do this, but you're like, well, you know what? I'm not really that type. I'm not really that. I don't want to do that. That's going to cost too much. So I'm just going to head over to this ministry. I'm just going to do this thing. The elephant in the room, the elephant, and because they knew about it. When your sinner friends are looking around going, oh, you're supposed to be a preacher, man. You're supposed to be anointed. You're that prayer warrior. Jonah prayed. Jonah, verse, I believe it's 15. Is it verse 15? They took Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased her raging. See, you know why they cast Jonah into the sea? Because he told them to. And read the book of Jonah. There's only four chapters. It's not a real large book. But Jonah had a suicidal spirit. He just, every time you turned around, Jonah was like, just kill me. He did. And I hate to spoil the story, but and when he prayed in chapter 2, he told God, just me, just kill me. And then in chapter 4, when everything was over, he said it again. There was something about Jonah that he just wanted to die. I venture to say that when you're not in the will of God, you can't even kill yourself. When you're not in the will of God, God kept that dude alive in the belly of a whale, okay, to get his will accomplished. Okay, so here goes Jonah, right? Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, right? And then what happened? Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed. Well, that took way too long. I'm sorry. You in the belly of a ship, okay? Then you get in the belly of a whale, okay? Y'all, I would have been praying the moment my toes hit the water, okay? It took 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, but homeboy decides it's time to talk to Jesus. Okay, and so he goes and he prays, right? And God starts, you know, working it out, right? And we're in verse 2. The Lord spake to the fish, right? Or no, chapter 2, verse 10. The Lord spake to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Now, you ever seen that those games? Those video games where if you die, it just restarts. Okay, this is what happens, right? So he homeboy like goes into the belly, right? And then and verse chapter 3, verse 1. Go ahead. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Wait, I'm having deja vu because chapter 1 said the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, and now all of a sudden chapter 3, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Go ahead, verse number 2. Go into Nineveh, that great city. God is literally repeating himself. Like, literally, it's like, is it Jumanji? Okay, just restart the game. Just restart the game, right? Some of y'all have been going through your entire life just restarting the game. You go through trial, and God just restarts the game, and you start back up, and you're going good for a little while. You get a decent prayer life. You come to church, and then something happens, and you fall off the deep end, and you go through this, and then something happens, and you get back in church, and God just restarts the game, and then you just go on. And that's not the will of God. That's not the will of God. Just go to Nineveh. What was the difference between verse 1 and verse 3? Go ahead and go to verse 8. Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. He skipped the cruise ship. He skipped the vacation. And he just went and did the will of God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room right now. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're running from. I don't know where you're, belly of what whale you might be in. I don't know what storm you're going through, but just get back on the road to Nineveh. Just get back on the road to Nineveh. Don't take that cruise. Don't take that vacation. I'm just gonna lay out of church for a while. It's just not my thing right now. It's just not what I expected it to be. See, there's an elephant in the room, Jonah. Now, if there's an elephant in the room today of sin, let God deal with it. If there's an elephant in your life of sin today, and let God deal with it. Because let me explain something to you. Judas regretted his sin, but he never repented of it. Judas regretted it. He was sorry for it, but repentance is turning away from it. You can be sorry about what happened. You can be sorry, but if you don't turn from it, if you don't leave it, there's no repentance. And there's another dude that had a suicidal spirit. Tendency. Just because, we'll go back to David. I know I'm jumping around now, but we'll go back to David, right? The prophet came in and said, "Thou art the man." Boom, just ripped that cover right off of his elephant, right? Just because the elephant in the room has been revealed does not mean the elephant in the room has been dealt with. Just because you've got to take some time to deal with that thing. You've got to take, so if you've got a sin in your life, then deal with it. Let God work. Let God work. God can heal. God can do so much in just a moment's time. Just a moment in these altars. But I want to talk to a church right now. I want to talk to a church about Jonah. If your calling is Nineveh, then anything but Nineveh is out of the will of God. If your calling is to go to Nineveh, then anything outside of that is not the will of God. Well, but at least I'm doing, at least I'm going, at least I'm, no. That's not the will of God. You're just going to be frustrated. You're not going to get where you're trying to go. Right? Jonah never, he tried so hard to get there. But you're never going to, he paid the fare. Yeah, you're going to pay a price. You're going to pay a price to get there. But he never got to where he wanted to go. God just restart. Well, spit him up. Now, just because my imagination is what it is, I wonder what would happen if Jonah got up and was like, new boat. I wonder if it would have been the same. And then Jonah was on the ship sleeping, and for the second time, they threw him overboard, and another whale just gulped him right down, and then he prayed again. I mean, because that's how we are. I don't want to get too real and too honest with you, but that's how we are. Well, this didn't work the first time, so we're just going to try it again. Instead of allowing God to do exactly what God is great at, being God. Our pastor has opened up so many doors of ministry opportunity, and ministry is not here, I can tell you. that guys much smarter than me have said that this is about 10% of ministry right here. This right here, standing in a pulpit is not. And so there's another 90% that has to be filled. There's a lot of places and a lot of parts of the church, and I was so honored to get to watch VBS and all the people of all age groups that came together to work and to do everybody from all different talents, all different backgrounds, all different God's body is amazing the way it functions, right? God's body is amazing. Comes together in unity and it functions and it starts to build something. So if you're not quite feeling a part of the body, I want to invite you today to hook in. I want to invite you today to be a part of. I feel the Holy Ghost drawing somebody. I never thought of myself as a small group leader. I never thought of myself as this. That's all right. That's all right. God's got a door for you, Jonah. God's got it. Don't worry about the enemy's doors that are opening up. Don't worry about the opportunities that he's trying to throw at you. Could we stand? Brother Jared was on point when he was speaking about the anticipation. I still feel that anticipation. There's a remnant in the room of prayer. You can always tell there's a remnant in the room. If Nineveh is your spiritual gifts, then binding those spiritual gifts is Tarshish. If Nineveh is your anointing, then binding that anointing and halting that anointing and stopping that anointing is Tarshish. Could we lift our hands all over this room and begin to pray, church? I feel the Holy Ghost. Would you allow God to begin to speak to you? I believe that he's going to give you a taste. He might not tell you the whole story, David. He might not tell you the whole story, but all you got to know today, David, is that you're anointed. All you got to know, David, is today the presence of the Lord is going to touch you and it's never going to leave. All over this room, could you begin to let your voice out? Come on, church, the body of Christ. Could we begin to pray? If you want to find a place, there's some that are already coming to the altar. There's some that are already. Would you begin to move right now, church, from the back of the room to the front? Would you begin to find a place? I don't know where you're at, Jonah. I don't know where you're at today, Jonah. I don't know what storm you're in, Jonah, but these altars are open and the presence of God is moving very strongly right now. Oh, come on, church. Somebody pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, church mother. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, young man. Let your voice out. Come on, young lady. Grandma and Paul, go find somebody to pray with. Go find some young person that's struggling, that's going through it all by themselves. Would you pray for them? Let them know that they're not in this alone. See, some of those trials that you went through, Jonah, way, way, way back when, they're going through right now, and you're going to encourage them today. Come on, let the body work right now. Let the body of Christ work right now. Somebody needs to let their voice out. The enemy's not ashamed to talk in your ear, so you ought not be ashamed to pray out loud in his. Go ahead, let your voice out. Ah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.